Hello, chat. Today is June 24th, and this is the second time we have done the intro for Business and Robot because the power just went out. And
yeah,
it's fine.
There's supposed to be a battery on Rosie, but it died a long time ago.
What happened there, Krista, was the gods were angry that you were torturing pumpkins.
I am not torturing. I'm growing a pumpkin on my patio
and
in a 5 gallon bucket.
It's
a 5 gallon bucket. It's fine.
That's cruel and unusual.
The roots will be fine. The vines will probably overtake my entire patio.
So you think the vines will jump out and the pumpkins will grow on the patio? Is that what you're expecting to happen?
Yes.
Hmm.
I think at least one of the pumpkins will probably grow near the base of the stem, which will be fine. But I think as the vine gets bigger, it's already growing outside of the bucket.
Is your patio made of wood? Will they rot up against that? I guess not.
I don't know. I have to put cardboard under them. I was reading about that the other day. I've never grown pumpkin before. It's definitely like the coolest thing I've grown because it is massive.
Oh, really? Yeah, pumpkins are really cool when it comes to coolness and vegetables.
I used to make my grade school teachers really angry by telling them that trees came from the air. I'm pretty sure pumpkins come from the air, too, so the bucket of soil is probably fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Because of the carbon. It doesn't get the carbon out of the ground. It gets the carbon out of the air, which is most of the tree.
Well, it needs a lot of other crap, too.
Mostly they come from the air.
My tomatoes, for example, I've had to supplement calcium to because they had end rot, and that was not great.
Or the nitrogen cycle. It's like the nitrogen cycle is real.
What's the cost of the calcium supplement versus what you save buying tomatoes?
I just use Tums tablets. You just grind them into a powder with mortar and pestle, and then you like mix it into the soil.
The tomatoes will have some kind of like special feature where they fight indigestion.
Tomatoes.
They seem to be okay so far. Like the new tomatoes that have sprouted don't have the end rot. So
aren't Tums or tomatoes insanely acidic?
Yeah.
So that's kind of irony you would give them.
Yeah. But it does seem to work. I don't know. The internet said Tums would work unless you wanted to just go spend money at Lowe's. And I was like, I don't want to go anywhere.
I don't remember what got us into originally talking about your garden.
I don't remember. I think you had asked about why I had moved downstairs.
Oh, right.
Because I'm in my kitchen today, not in the spare bedroom, which is usually where I've been recording.
But where I was going with that is it has nothing to do with our first story.
Nothing at all.
But as we talked about in the last episode, second wave kind of a thing right now. Who knows? You know, there's still all this doubt and questioning, but it does seem like certain parts of the United States are seeing a lot more. Now, some people say that's because we're testing more. I don't know.
That's probably true, but it's also like we're finding a lot through testing, which is probably meaning it's spreading more than we think.
Which amounts to the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Also, the sewage studies are coming back now, and it's like, oh, this city was horribly infected in December of 2019, and we had no idea.
I think Italy was, like, seriously infected in December.
So, all that to say that the business and corporate response to this is all over the road. Nobody can decide how far to go, because how far do you go that hurts business versus sickening all of your customers? What do you do? And we got stories about that.
AMC Theaters changes course and will require all customers to wear face masks. I've written a Google Chrome plugin that replaces face masks with pants.
So at first, they said they weren't going to require masks. And when asked, what? Why? Their response was, we don't want to make a political statement. Because disease is politics. Actually, politics is disease, right? So
the wisdom of the level one news. That's what you subscribe for.
They got a touch of backlash for that.
AMC is canceled was trending for a while.
Now, I remember not too long ago, they said that they might not even try to reopen.
Yeah. Turns out people don't want to go to theaters. And also, you can just buy new releases and watch them in your own house.
Well, they were fighting that.
It's like a good thing.
So I'm not a theater goer, but I just can't imagine people was like, I can't wait to get back there.
I don't have a great sound system at home, and every now and then I'll see a good movie in a theater and it's like, I should do a better sound system at home.
You know what I like to do at home is I like to pop up some popcorn and put the pour over butter on it to get that same experience. And I got a nice tall glass of Coke. And then I take a 20 and just throw it in the fire. And I get that experience of being in a movie theater.
The drive-in theaters right now are like, this is the best thing that could happen for them. There's one that's near my hometown, and yeah. They're like, yeah, we're open. Come in. Socially distancing movies.
I've been to a drive-in theater 4 or 5 times in my life, and every time the video and audio quality is just not worth it.
Well, they go through FM now, right?
Yeah. It's a lot better than it used to be. Because I used to go all the time when I was in high school.
If you got a nice 13 speaker in your car,
no,
then...
Well, there's the problem.
Probably sounds really good, yeah. AMC, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how the theater thing goes. I think their business is probably going to be hurt, because what big movies are we waiting for? Do we have any big movies pending this year?
Mulan, Disney's latest remake.
We haven't had any big movies pending in a long time.
I guess isn't there one of the superhero movies they're waiting
on? We're creatively bankrupt at this point.
Yeah.
Well, it's been like that for a decade.
In the AMC story, I think they mentioned specifically, like, part of the reason they wanted to reopen was because of Mulan. Like, they've put Mulan back so far at this point from its original opening date that they're like, we have
Disney
to release it now.
Plus. It's a movie for kids.
Yeah.
God, the kids are just such rampant spreaders of disease in the good times. Can't imagine it. But AMC is not alone. Some other places kind of rushed back in. Not even rushed back in, but they're like, okay, it's safe. We can come out now. We can crawl out from under the bed. And boom, just hits them again.
Why is Apple closing some of its stores mere weeks after reopening? Well, because people are getting sick.
Huh. Strange how that works.
A lot of these stories read like they're permanently closing the stores for lack of business, but that's not really the case.
Now, this is very selective. It's not everywhere.
Arizona, Florida, North Carolina, and South Carolina will be closing as of Saturday due to spikes. There's your answer. This is like, why do we need 7 more paragraphs?
And in South Carolina, I think they mentioned it was 6 stores. The only 6 stores in South Carolina. So imagine you're one of those people who had, like, you know, the bad battery or whatever, and you're like, I need to get this fixed. And they're like, forget it. You can't even mail it in. Just wait till we reopen. And then they reopen, and you got your appointment, and you're like, finally.
Mail-in service really would not be a big deal for those things, except for the Apple T2, where can you imagine if you could boot from USB and get your stuff? That would be awesome. But no, Apple is like, no.
No, that's unacceptable. And speaking of Apple, now we've spoke previously about the antitrust that Apple is facing. And it's all about the App Store. And here we have a story, and the headline here is Facebook. But this certainly is not just Facebook. If you think back about Netflix, and there's a lot of other great examples, and we'll just talk about them all in the same place here, of the walled garden and why that might be a bit of a problem.
Apple rejects Facebook's gaming app for at least the 5th time. Apple has repeatedly denied Facebook's new gaming app from appearing in the App Store, citing its own rules. So, the article goes into great detail about all of the different stuff that Facebook has done with their gaming application. And in the rules, it explicitly does say HTML5 games and, like, browser-based games are fine, but there are some hoops you got to jump through. The problem is that there are already apps that function similar to this on the App Store that are allowed, but Facebook took away like the ability to do categories, and then they took away the ability to do searching, and then they just gave you a flat list that you couldn't do anything with, which is exactly what the gaming experience already is. It's literally the same from within the Facebook app that's on the Apple App Store. Like, they made it exactly the same. They're like, okay, well, if it's this in the Facebook app, maybe it'll be okay as a standalone thing. And Apple was like, no.
But Apple has that. Apple's pushing their own. They've got that subscription-based app gaming thing.
It's the flashlight thing all over again. Remember when there were flashlight apps and Apple was like, using your phone as a flashlight is stupid, and then they built in a flashlight thing, and then they were like, you don't need that because it's built into the operating system, and all the flashlight app authors were like, what are you doing?
So that is at the core of why everybody is upset. And everybody is upset, even the other big names who, to be fair, have their own kinds of practices that are almost this bad, are coming out and saying, wow, Apple, how could you do this to us?
Microsoft says antitrust bodies need to review Apple App Store. Wow. You know it's bad when Microsoft is like, you know, maybe we should not bundle your web browser with, oh, wait.
And, of course, this harkens back to Netflix, who had... Now, the issue there is that anything you do in the Apple App Store needs to go through Apple Pay. Now, Apple will tell you that's for security reasons and to make a seamless experience for the user. But what it also comes with is a price tag. That price tag is 30% for the first year and 15% after that. Now, Netflix, you know, they had their battle already, but more and more apps are saying, hey, we can just, like, go outside, like, install the app, yeah, but then come and register on the website and then go back to the app. And Apple does not like that. And I forgot to include that story.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the latest round of that is the Hey app, which is from the people that made Basecamp. And it's really insane because Apple's rejection of that was you need a subscription for Hey in order to do stuff. But like you were saying with Netflix, Netflix is like that. There's a lot of apps in the App Store that are already like that. Mm-hmm. The Apple app can not upsell you. Like, as part of the rules, it's like you're not allowed to, like, you know, hard sell people or upsell people. And so the people that did Basecamp came up with an app that does stuff with your email inbox to try to make it to where you can manage your email inbox a little better. And they got the app in the App Store, and they've had it there forever, but it's getting really popular now. And so Apple is like, you know, let's just not allow this.
But more importantly, not only are they not allowing it, they're not allowing anything to be done with that app.
Including just security updates.
Yeah, no security updates. And what they're saying is an app can't be useless without an external registration. But again, Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix is useless without an external registration. While I was reading that thing, though, I thought about the opposite of that, where I'm of two minds here. Because I'm thinking about Rockstar Social Club.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hate Rockstar. You buy a game, and you pay $60 for it, and it does nothing.
Until you do the social app.
Exactly, yeah. Which is exactly what's going on here. So it's kind of like, oh, we do kind of need that in some places. I don't know.
Maybe it's Apple wants to give people the option of subscribing through the app. Apple even said it was okay if you charge them more. It's like you charge them, they can save 30% if they go through the website. You're not allowed to tell them that, but if they go through the website to buy it, but then they have the option to buy it in the iTunes store, they almost made it seem like it was kind of okay like that. But the rejection letter to the Hey people from Apple reads almost like the mafia, because there's a part in it, it's like, hey, Basecamp has some apps in the App Store. It'd be a shame if something happened to those apps. It was like, what? Excuse me? What?
Now, they could capitulate, but they could also just wait, because it seems like the EU might batter Apple enough to make them back down on this.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. And Facebook, you have to register for Facebook to use the Facebook stuff, right?
Yeah.
How's that different?
Mm-hmm. Got to have a Facebook account.
Well, in the past couple of weeks, we've done a lot of stories about, usually about Tesla. And it's like, wow, Tesla's killing it. Well, because Tesla sells cars online and people aren't going to car dealerships. The car companies are getting murdered right now because nobody's buying new cars. And maybe that has something to do with this. I can't imagine what has pushed them to this, but this could be really, really cool if it is what they say that it's going to be.
Reuters has the story about Volkswagen seeking an open source approach to refine car operating systems. Now, you might remember Volkswagen from such stories as they made their diesel cars know when they're being emissions tested so that they behave differently. So Volkswagen, to try to get in front of that, is saying maybe we could open source parts of our car operating system and work together, because, you know, we don't want to invest the R&D dollars and other companies are investing R&D dollars. Maybe we can all just get together and have an open source car operating system. So that way we're not wasting money on duplication of effort, which sounds good, but is it an abdication of responsibility?
And that is a situation where safety must come first.
Yeah.
So,
oh man, the Chinese operating system people, the rotor operating system.
Exactly.
Oops.
Or, you know, some really well-meaning but underskilled person. It's like, oh, I'm going to go in here and mess with the emissions and make it better. And then it bursts into flame.
Is that like when Ford bought substandard parts from some overseas company and then blamed the overseas company for all their cars catching on fire and really nothing came of that?
Yeah, I suppose there's some correlation there. Now, they said that they did expect it to be a standard, and just like a lot of different car companies would be sharing the same operating system.
That doesn't seem good for the whole security thing. Remember how the intelligence agencies were taking over the fly-by-wire system in cars and killing dignitaries?
That'd be so much easier.
It would be so much easier.
Because it can be like the NSA stuff, where they'll just build the back door into it. They'll sponsor development, and it'll seem fine until it comes time to launch you off of a bridge.
Damn, it's another magical electromotive story.
And speaking of companies who made a bit of a faux pas in light of the pandemic and the lockdown, is one of the rock stars of the lockdown.
End-to-end encryption update from Zoom for Eric S. Yon. He's like, oh, the whole end-to-end, we didn't realize that people were paying attention when we said we weren't going to encrypt end-to-end. We'll probably do end-to-end encryption.
For everybody. It was just going to be for paying customers previously, but now they're going to roll it out to everybody because they were abused heavily on social media.
It literally doesn't cost them a dime to enable that.
Well, I bet too, like, a lot of people started leaving the platform, or like they just noticed like a big trend downward, and it was like, oh, never mind, we can't do that anymore.
Where has Wendell gone?
We're not even gonna cut that. We're not even gonna cut it. Let's leave it in.
Well, we might have to cut some of that, but the mystery of where Wendell has gone will be solved on Friday.
No.
Stay tuned. All right, so yeah, I think the sort could be wrong because that means that I don't know.
What's the next story? Is it T-Mobile?
Yes.
Okay, then maybe it's okay. Maybe
I cut one. I didn't tell
That's probably what I saw.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so, continue.
Let's forget everything that happened in the last minute. Just put it out of your minds. And let's think about T-Mobile. Christy, you're going to have to read the headlines now, so prepare yourself.
Oh, okay.
T-Mobile merged. And as with many mergers, a lot of people were like, hey, this is going to be bad. You shouldn't do this. It's bad for the consumer. And they're like, you're crazy. And they're like, this is going to cost jobs. And they're like, nah, you're out of your mind. It's going to create jobs. You people are stupid. And so it happened. It was allowed to happen. And then right afterwards, they had a little bit of a problem this week.
T-Mobile's outage yesterday was so big that even Ajit Pai is mad.
Yeah.
Is this... Did we ever figure out why this outage happened? I saw it happening live, but like I never heard anything else about it.
Yeah, it was a one of their fiber nodes. Something happened. It was improperly configured, and all the IP addresses were being routed through a smaller network. Mm-hmm. And they called it an IP storm, which went very, very poorly. It does seem like it was self-inflicted.
And that's good.
A lot of people are saying, hey, what are you going to do about this? Now, Ajit Pai did come out and say, this is unacceptable. We should not have to tolerate this kind of thing. But this story from Ars Technica harkens back to the last time something like this happened, and he said the same thing, but nothing was ever done. So
this kind of like minor event really gives you a lot of hope for when we have like the solar storm.
Oh, forget it.
Yeah,
forget it. Or the revolution. In the revolution, they'll just turn these off.
And then there will be.
They'll have. You know, I was thinking about that. Like, I would have no way to contact the outside world.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I've thought about that, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm like paranoid and prepper enough to get like a ham radio. I'm not there yet, but I'm like,
I've got a listening digital radio. But I don't have
I've got like an emergency radio, but not like one I can broadcast from.
So,
something to think about, chat, for disaster preparedness.
Yeah, maybe we should learn smoke signals.
That'd be cool. Oh, I should get some carrier pigeons and have those on the back porch.
Oh, carrier pigeons. My cats would go crazy with the carrier pigeons.
They would love that.
Also,
with one carrier pigeons.
You think we could sell them on the store?
We could sell them on the store. You know, we do extra. We have an extra channel. It's like level one pets, but it's mostly like 90% pigeon content.
How long does it take to train a carrier pigeon? Do we have?
I don't know.
Engagement challenge. Do we have anybody in the audience who engages in carrier pigeoning?
How far away can you get it? Because, like, your guys' parents live pretty far away.
Or they go a lot. Because back in the day, they would go, like, between kingdoms.
Okay, so that'd be fine from here to the mountains.
Sure. It'd be no problem at all. All right, T-Mobile. So they've had an outage, and that was bad. But they had another really bad PR hit this week. Because, again, when the merger happened, everybody had all these fears. And they were constantly like, you need to calm down. You're just being ridiculous. You should not be afraid of this. None of these things will happen. And then...
After merger, T-Mobile lays off hundreds of Sprint employees in a move that surprised no one.
So this was mostly the Sprint sales team for small business. And it makes sense, right? Because you don't need two small business sales teams for one company. They were told 400 jobs were cut, but don't worry, that created 200 jobs. And you won't
now be... you guys can all fight over those.
Well, no. You're not getting those jobs. Those jobs aren't for you. But if you want to, you can go and apply for them. And they gave them a web address to go to. So
that's like something they did when they cut the art program. And one of my professors was older and like preparing to retire. And he was like, well, I heard you guys have an opening in marketing. He's like, could I just teach there until I retire in like 2 or 3 years? And they're like, you can apply. And they gave him like an application. It was like, wow, what a way to treat someone who's worked here for 30 years.
It's got a coffee stain on it.
Yeah. So here, you can have this.
Yeah, you kind of got that idea. It's like, because it wasn't for the same job, because they don't need any more of those people. It's for a different job, and they're not really probably qualified for that. Yeah. Unfortunate. Now, Krista, you are looking for a unicorn house, as I did for a long time before I gave up, because it doesn't exist. But the problem, the thing that disqualifies every unicorn house, is the internet connection.
Yes.
And you have to be so hopeful that the golden god himself, actually that's Bezos. What do we call Musk? The prince of deception?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, you got to be hoping that this... You should sign up for this. Have you done this yet? You should do this immediately.
No, I haven't. I've been watching it from afar, wondering if it will actually ever come to fruition. But SpaceX is now taking requests for Starlink beta testers. I wonder how effective this will really be. I would be fascinated to know.
Now, he's saying in this article, of course, the big thing about it is, what's the latency?
Yeah.
Now, could you live, let's say the latency was like 500 milliseconds, which means that your Overwatch days are, you could still play it, but it wouldn't be, you'd suck at it. Would you make that sacrifice?
I probably wouldn't care as much if I could still do my remote work, but my husband would not be okay with that.
Oh, that's right.
Because he also likes to play games. Mm. So that was, and, like, for him, that's like one of his bigger hobbies, whereas like I could probably take it or leave it, honestly.
Now,
no, probably not.
You know, is no way you could sell that?
Sell what? Oh, to him? Like, sell it? Like, yeah, no. Yeah. No, that's a big thing. Like, every house we look at is like, does it have internet?
Well, Mr. Musk has said in this article that he's looking at an amazingly known, I think it was like 50 milliseconds, 30 or 20, below 20 milliseconds, which would be just insane. So,
targeting latency, which we're targeting for that, but we may miss it.
Yeah, that's true. Now,
until they start, I want to see what the beta testers say and how well it actually goes. You think they have to do a NDA to test it?
Probably. But you should sign up for it, because even if you get it at your current location, you get an idea of what it's like before you buy into it.
That's true.
I might sign up for it. How cool would it be just to have
tell me.
Just have an extra internet connection?
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
I wonder how expensive it'll be.
Probably about what we're paying now, I'd say. Something close to it. They'll probably have introductory prices that are pretty low, actually.
I was going to say, because if they're the only people offering internet where you are, like, they could really jack up the prices, and I could see them doing that, because why wouldn't they?
They want to get those juicy FCC payouts. They could make a lot more money doing that than they could raising prices. So
that's true.
Meanwhile, speaking of Mr. Musk, when the quarantine happened, he was very upset, very publicly against it. And one of the threats that he made was that he was done with California. And part of that threat, it seems, has come true. He's done what he said and moved off to a freer state.
Tesla acquires $5 million worth of land outside of Austin to build new factory. That reads weirdly.
There's okay, some kind fine. Of mine or something on here. But he has purchased all of this, and this will be the truck factory, the Cybertruck.
Which I'm still wondering who the target audience is for that, but I guess we'll see when it starts production.
Looks like they got a nice little pond here.
You think he's gonna build a homestead on it, I'm sure.
I thought he was done owning homes.
Oh, that's right. He'll just have to rent like the rest of us scrubs.
He'll rent his home on that land for $1 a month from himself.
We think that's a fair and equitable price.
Well, you know, having him on site raises the value, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Just his personhood.
Speaking of Tesla, you know, they are doing very well in the car sales game because not many other people are selling cars effectively right now. I think you can buy them now, right? I think you have to make an appointment.
Like just a Tesla car? Like just any Tesla?
No, other dealerships, I'm saying, like just wandering onto the lot. I don't know if you can do that yet. You might be able to.
I think you can now because everything's reopened. But during like the worst part of the quarantine, like I think the only thing that was open at car lots was the repair area. Yeah.
I got a thing from the dealership where I bought my car, and they were like, "We're dedicated to, safety and cleanliness. So no matter what service you get a full inside and outside wash."
Wow.
And I was like, what's the cheapest service? Could I get like my windshield washers changed?
Yeah, so they probably like just getting some fluids added or like, yeah, air to your tires.
Abuse that free wash. Anyway, for the longest time, Tesla was not producing cars fast enough to meet their obligations. But it seems like now that is finally caught up, especially for the Model S.
Tesla cuts price of Model S Long Range Plus, says EPA rated range improved to 402 miles. They should have made it 420. So Elon could have made a meme tweet.
I think they barely got it over 400. That was they were shooting for. So dropping it by $5,000, which is, you know, that's a pretty good price drop. And for the first time this last month, I think, they made more than they delivered. So they actually have some in the hopper now.
Oh, nice.
Well, nice for you if you're shopping, but not nice for them because they would much rather have demand.
Yeah.
Also, this is a story.
How many people are buying cars right now? Probably, unless you're like desperately in need of one, probably not many.
I mean, it seems like a weird investment when you're sitting at home.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are going back to work, so I'd say it's normalizing. But now that
we bought a car at the beginning of the year, and we've used it some, obviously, like to go to the store and stuff, but like it's mostly just been sitting in our driveway.
Now, this, if you remember the story about the range, it didn't hit the EPA, wasn't able to get the 400 miles out of it. He claimed it was because they left the keys in it and it was on standby instead of turned off. And that hurt the range the next day when they tested it, because you don't test 400 miles in a single day. So they said that wasn't the case. But what has happened here is they have not retested it because of the virus.
Right.
But because they can't retest it, they allowed Tesla to test it and submit that. And so he has a temporary ability to say it's over 400 miles until they retest it. Weird situation.
Isn't that kind of like false advertising? A little bit?
Well, but see, his argument, and this kind of makes sense, is, okay, prove me wrong. And they say, well, we can't because we're not doing that right now because there's a pandemic.
Business, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it kind of makes sense. Now, Tesla, if you don't know how Tesla was named, I bet there's some young people who don't. It's named after a guy who was famous for working with electricity. Hey, that makes sense. Whose first name was Nikola. Is it Nikola or Nikolai? Never can figure out how to properly
pronounce. I think it's Nikola in his case.
Nikola Tesla. And so obviously somebody took the last name and somebody else was like, hey, I had that idea. But they decided to go with the first name. And the Nikola company also makes electric trucks. But there might have been some exaggerations in some of their sales pitches.
Nikola founder exaggerated the capability of his debut truck, and the rest of it is behind a paywall. I can just read the title.
So this is hilarious because this was years ago, too. I can't remember. I think it was like 2016 or something like that. They had their debut where they showed off the truck. Now, these are big semi trucks, you know.
Oh.
And
I didn't know they made electric semis.
Well, they don't.
Wow.
So they rolled it out, and the people, the press at the event were like, hey, does this actually work, or did you just tow this up here to show it off? And he was like, does it work? Are you crazy? Of course it works. And they kind of went really over the top. And he was like, hey, you see those chains we put up there? Yeah, we had to because we didn't want anybody jumping in and driving it off because it works. It definitely works. No, seriously. It rolls.
Totally believe me. Give me money.
Yeah, and people did give him money. They invested. But since then, some people have spoken out, people who claim to work for the company, and they said there were no batteries in that truck. In fact, we had whole huge pieces of that truck taken out. Because it didn't work.
Oh.
So why did he say that?
Oh. Could it be for money?
Now, these trucks are not purely electric like Tesla. They have hydrogen fuel cells. Mm. And he claimed back in that old press conference, like, no, these are going to be on the road in 2020. There's no question about it. These are ready. We are full throttle, ready to go. But where do you buy hydrogen on the road, Krista?
You know, I just usually stop at a 7-Eleven. Well, mix them up along with my Slim Jims, my Mountain Dew.
Get a big gulp of hydrogen.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't actually happen, and they're not expecting that to be a big rollout till 2023. So.
Well.
They're projected. They've projected their revenue for this year. $0. Good for the investors. Another company that has had a bit of an embarrassment this week is Wirecard. They had a couple of dollars go missing.
Just a couple. Like, you know, like 10 bucks out of the till.
Headline.
I read that. Wirecard CEO Marcus Brown resigns as accounting scandal batters shares.
That number missing from the till, as you say, Krista, $2.1 billion.
Just a small amount. Really, you know, just a slap on the wrist. You know, write an apology letter.
So apparently, this is kind of hard to follow, but apparently there were some letters of, not letters of credit, but like letters of deposit from some Asian banks. I can't remember exactly where they were. And they had those on file. I was like, no, we've got this $2.1 billion. We're good. And he was using that in his financial disclosures and stuff like that. And somebody started sniffing around. They actually went to those banks. And those banks were like, Wirecard is not a customer of ours.
Hmm.
And so somewhere, someone defrauded to the tune of $2.1 billion. We're not sure exactly what happened yet. But I saw that some financial company had a short on Wirecard, and they'd already made $29 million.
So if you look at the little graph in the story here, it just falls off a cliff.
That's what $2.1 billion in missing money looks like.
Also, sidebar stories here. U.S. banks are swimming in money as deposits increased by $2 trillion amid the coronavirus. I guess it's because of the reopening.
No, it's nobody's shopping and nobody's buying cars. You know, it's like everything's shut down, so what are you going to do with your money?
Just save it.
Well, yeah, it's going into the bank deposits. We talk a lot about VPNs and why you should use VPNs and how, you know, obviously everything is being tracked and you don't want that necessarily associated with your IP address. And more companies are realizing that this is something the consumer wants and they are creating their own versions of it.
Mozilla to launch VPN product in the next few weeks.
Mozilla?
Mozilla?
That's like a,
Mozilla.
It's like a possessive
word.
Did my
accent come out?
It's Mozilla.
Yeah. Oh, my accent came out last night. I was playing a game with Zim. And I said, what did I say? I said, I think we need to go around here. And I was like, oh.
Have you been spending a lot of time just like only talking to your mom and the people around you? Because that'll happen.
Yeah.
You'll slide.
My accent's becoming stronger.
Yeah. So yeah, Mozilla has figured out that people want a VPN, and so they're going to create one. And it's been in beta for a while. People seem to like it. It is $4.99 a month for 6 devices, and you can do whole network VPN with it if you so desire.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know about logging and stuff like that. I imagine they do keep track of stuff like that. Ideally, you want a VPN who just doesn't keep any logs at all, but I don't know if those exist anymore. I know private internet access was like they went to court a couple of times and proved that they didn't keep logs, but then I think somebody bought them.
Yes, I feel like that would be really hard to find now.
Yeah.
Someone's keeping a log of it, even if it's not who you think it is.
So, the police and their interactions with the public, it's a little bit in the forefront of our national awareness at this point, wouldn't you say?
Yes, our collective national consciences.
We are more aware than we have been in a long time of police possibly not doing things the right way. So when you have to interact with them, maybe you should take precautions. And so someone has created an interesting new iPhone feature to facilitate that.
Hey Siri, I'm getting pulled over. iPhone feature, record police interaction, send location. I thought this was Apple itself making this. Like, this is a default thing that comes with their phones.
It's a shortcut. I think someone else might have designed it, but maybe they adapted it. I don't know. But a shortcut. Twitter user Robert Peterson posted a link to the shortcut. Yeah, maybe Apple did launch this.
Yeah.
But what a shortcut does, it's basically a macro. You know, it just launches a series of commands automatically without you having to do it. So this thing puts your phone into do not disturb mode so that you can't get calls and stuff during that time, turns on the front camera, and locks it so that, you know, no one can stop it.
Yeah.
And then you record the interaction and do all that, and your phone should be protected while that goes on. And when it's over, when you stop the recording, you can automatically set it to go to Dropbox or to send it to another user. Oh, it also text messages another user that you set beforehand.
So it says when you stop it. So, like, do you have to just log back into your phone to stop it? Like, the cops can't just reach over and...
I think part of the lock settings is, like, they can't open it for you. So, yeah, you would have to manually... I don't know what happens if, like, they seize it and it just keeps filming. Maybe there's a timeout.
It just gets thrown in an evidence locker and it's just still recording and it's just a black screen.
But that is a cool feature. And yeah. I got to say, you know, I've never really thought about doing that before. But from now on, I probably would turn on the camera if I got pulled over.
Yeah. Well, just you have you already have the dash cam.
I wouldn't mind. I don't leave the dash cam recording me, though. Because you can't to get the high resolution in that camera. You can only go one direction. So we'll get the audio, but actually I think I have the audio turned off too, because, you know, if I get in a car accident, I don't want to, like, sitting in court, you know, trying to in a civil court
screaming and swearing.
And it's like, sir, you didn't have to use all those homophobic slurs. I was like, listen, I was angry. I'm sorry. But I think I'd still turn on the camera. I think everybody should do that.
Yeah. It's not a bad feature at all.
Now, do you remember, Krista, gosh, I don't know how long ago it's been now, but in the deepest throes of our national emergency, ventilators were in short supply.
You know, I do remember that. I think that was about 3 months ago.
And at that point, the makers of the ventilators, they kind of sort of spoke up and it's like, well, yeah, don't be messing with our ventilators because we have copyright and you shouldn't be doing that stuff. And then the backlash was so immediate, they're like, no, we're kidding, go ahead, you know,
keep doing it,
we gotta save these lives, don't worry about us. But I think enough time has passed, and they're returning to their old ways.
A medical device maker threatens iFixit over ventilator repair project. Now that it's season two and we're on to the civil unrest storyline, they're like, no one will care if we go back to the season one throwback.
So iFixit posted this trove of how to repair ventilators because obviously we didn't have enough and people were dying. And now enough time has passed, like you say, they're kind of getting back in there and like, well, technically we own this, so you better take it down. iFixit argues that they have a right to post it under some law and they won't be taking it down. But it'd be interesting to see if they elevate this.
And I think we're going to need the ventilators soon because of all the protests. And soon, you know, soon here in the U.S. it's going to be 4th of July. And you know people aren't going to stay in for that. They didn't stay in for Memorial Day. Have you started hearing the fireworks yet?
Oh, yeah. Where I live, they're already happening. A lot of firework enthusiasm where I live.
Yeah. How do the cats react to that?
I don't care too much. No, but there was a hailstorm last week. Did you get the hailstorm last week?
We had a storm pass through, but it didn't hail here.
Oh, it was like 45 degree hail for 15 minutes. And they were so concerned about that I tried to get out the rainbow colored string toy that they love so much, and they didn't even look at it. They're like, listen, no, we don't have time for that. Don't you understand?
It's hailing.
We're dying. This is the end.
Rue, when she hears like a firecracker or something, she'll go to the window to look and see what it is, but then she'll come back to you and you'll say, it's okay, Rue. And then she's like, oh, okay, it's fine. She's sort of smart that way. She doesn't like freak out about fireworks.
But my cats are cowards. Like sometimes they'll knock over I'll lean a broom up against a wall and they'll run under it and knock it over. And that's like under the bed for 5 minutes kind of terror.
Rue did that the other day and was like freaked out and like came back to crawl over and sniff it. Like, why did it make such noise?
So
Rue, no understand.
I'm sure if the fireworks were closer to my home, they would be very unhappy.
Concerned.
Yeah. Well, Krista, if there's one thing that I know about you, the hardest part of the whole lockdown, you know, it's not been worrying about your mom. It's not been, you know, the cabin fever. It's really been the fact that you can't watch NBA basketball.
Yeah, that's, you know, March Madness. Like, was March Madness just college or do they do
March
NBA
Madness is it? Not in the NBA. Yeah, that's
well,
that's,
you know, I really care about basketball, so I'm so deeply distraught.
What is your favorite team again? I keep forgetting.
Which one was Michael Jordan on?
So
the Bulls, right?
Your favorite team was from 20 years ago.
Yeah, listen, I liked watching him fight the aliens in Space Jam.
Well, you will be delighted to know that they are thinking about bringing the NBA back. Now, the way that they're going to deal with the whole crowd situation is they're only going to do it from Disney. The Disney theme park is going to host all of the basketball. And I think they're going to live there between games and stuff.
Ugh.
Yeah, weird.
The happiest place on earth.
But they're going to go even further than that, and they're going to bring this amazing technology into it to try and figure out if you're getting sick, not based on testing, but based on how your body is responding.
NBA restart plan includes using rings to catch COVID-19 symptoms. Is this like a mood ring, but for COVID-19?
It's a fitness tracker. So it's kind of like a Fitbit, but for your finger.
Huh.
So you see, it's...
I wonder how accurate those are.
I don't know. You know, I was interested enough to look into this. They are $300.
Wow.
But they don't have a charger, obviously. You know, they just like, you just put them on a charging plate. And they're good for 7 days at a time, which seems kind of cool.
Well, there's a picture, a tweet down here. I guess one of the guys handling a ball and he's wearing a glove. So you have to wear glove. Like, you're sweating anyway because you're being athletic and running around. But then you have to wear the gloves that makes your hands all sweat. Like, do you think that affects their play at all? Like, if you're used to handling the ball a certain way, like, does it mess with your muscle memory?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, how you touch the ball, like when it comes off your fingertips, you have to spin it a certain amount. And it's like, so it has to have some kind of impact. So again, these things don't detect the virus, but they claim that they can figure out
fevers, I guess.
Yeah, changes in your body, and it's like, oh, you're, we need to test you.
Oh my gosh. It is kind of like a mood ring, because it changes by temperature.
Yeah, obviously. Well, and I think it can do some heart rate type stuff too, although in your fingers it's not going to be as good as like on your wrist, obviously.
I wonder why they didn't go with something on your wrist.
Well, because the ring is so much, it's a more convenient form factor.
I guess.
People don't know that you're a fitness hipster. They just think you like really big rings, gaudy rings.
Yeah.
Well, let's pour one out, because we're finally going to witness the death of something that, let's face it, has been dead for at least 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Adobe Flash is actually going to die this time for real. Flash is, I think it's end of year, right? That it's gone forever.
They recommend that everyone uninstall anything to do with Flash by the end of the year. Who is still using Flash at this point?
This is actually relevant to me, because I have a client right now that we're having to upgrade their entire setup for the thing that they offer, because it was all done in Flash years ago and they haven't had a chance to update it before now.
Wow. How has that not been hacked?
How's it what?
Has it not been hacked?
It's a fairly niche product, so like it's not, I guess, a big of a target. But
security through obscurity.
Yeah, we're working on redesigning it so it's not Flash based anymore.
Oh man, how bummed is Wendell going to be that he missed this story? I'm sure he had like a solid 2 minutes pre-prepared for this.
And he's I have here. No commentary on this.
He's not here to give it to you.
He's going to be so upset. AMD's upcoming Ryzen 3000 XT brings 7-nanometer improvements, higher boost.
So this,
I have nothing to add.
It's not a big upgrade. You kind of get the impression that they almost did this just to say it was a little bit faster than what Intel has right now. Because with that extra 200 megahertz, I think it does pull ahead in most aspects over the competing Intel chips. Same socket, fits in the same boards. It's basically the same thing. These don't come with coolers, because they figured out that people were throwing away the coolers in mass numbers. No one cared about the
just right to the landfill.
And so it is pretty much, it's the 3000 line again, but it's XT. A little bit better. Certainly not something that you would want to upgrade to if you already have the old one. But if you're buying new, maybe consider this for the slight increase.
Wendell probably did have a lot more commentary prepared for that.
Oh, but so much.
He's missed it.
His home building has cost him everything. Now, this is not a news story, although there were news stories about this. This has to do with Samsung. They had a Blu-ray player. And one guy had a problem with the Blu-ray player, and he was like, hey, I'm having this problem. And the people at the help desk were like, that's weird. And then all of a sudden, hundreds and hundreds of people poured in, because all at once, it was this, as if 1,000 voices cried out all at once.
And then we're silent.
All the Blu-ray players.
There's not really a title, because it's not really a news story. This is just like a forum thread on the Samsung website. Blu-ray player power cycling whenever plugged in.
So yeah.
We're aware of customers who reported an issue, and then there are 831 replies.
So these things just started rebooting themselves all at the same time, and no one, including Samsung, knows why. A lot of these responses were hilarious, because it was like, yeah, I know nobody uses Blu-ray discs anymore, but I use this for Netflix, and I really want it back.
Wow. So, there are a lot of responses on here.
Is there like an integer that got too large there, or crazy planned obsolescence? I don't know. It'll be interesting to find out exactly what went wrong there. Because, I mean, imagine if you were, you know, somewhere. There's all these stories about people like they're out in the African bush doing research, and they've got computers that cannot fail like this because they just can't do updates. That would be very disappointing. What if that was in your virus bunker? You were locked down. You're like, well, it's okay, because I've got thousands of Blu-rays to work my way through. And then it just starts rebooting one day.
You don't. That's why you keep an old DVD player. Or, like an old non-internet connected
But this one, it didn't matter. Device. I don't think it had to be internet connected. I don't think this was an update, because why would they be updating Blu-ray players? I think this was like a buffer or an integer or something that...
But why would they all... Oh, yeah, I don't know. Weird.
Hey!
Oh, Wimbleback, I hear...
You know what you missed?
What I miss?
You missed the story that I know you had prepared remarks for.
Oh, the upcoming Ryzen 3000 XT brings 7-nanometer improvements to higher boost. Can't say anything about it until July 7th.
Well, you can say what Ars Technica said about it.
Well, it's an incremental improvement, it looks like.
Yeah, we thought you'd have more. You've disappointed everyone.
Yeah, everyone's. Yeah, there's going to be lots of comments
year.
About that.
I can't believe that it's been a year since Ryzen 3000 launched. It's been a fast year.
Well, listen, time compression.
And also a slow year, so it's weird.
Now,
it's probably too nosy, but I'll cut in anyway. What were you doing, Wendell? Did you have like a house emergency?
He can't hear you. Chris is nosily asking where you were.
I had to go work on tile. There was no other time to do it. So he was like, I can meet you on Sunday. It's like, okay, I'll get you in. So I know enough about home improvement not to try to do thin set and tile myself. I've got a guy.
Are you being tiled as we speak?
He is going to get materials.
Oh, okay.
So. Oh, nice. What color grout you do?
It's not white. It's sort of a medium gray.
Oh, nice. That'll be easier to like. You won't see the dirt, so you won't know how dirty the space is.
Are you implying that his bathroom is going to be filthy, Krista?
It definitely
is. I'm implying it's difficult. So like here in our kitchen, we've got, I think it's like a sandstone colored sort of grout, and it's very difficult to keep it clean.
Yeah. Can't confirm, especially with the cats.
Yeah.
So it turns out that we have all these various open source initiatives to try and raise money and then put it in the right places to get good. I mean, open source is great, but you need some sort of focus, right? You got to make sure that you fund the right kind of stuff. Try to figure out what's real and what's not, because a lot of people start projects and they never finish them.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, well, everybody does. Happens to the best of us. But sometimes those entities can be undermined by none other than the government.
CEO of Open Technology Fund resigns after closed-source lobbying effort. It took me a little bit to unpack what the story was about.
This was very obtuse. Yeah.
But basically, this organization gets their money from a government group, and the powers above them are like, hey, maybe we should give some money to private companies. And it's like, but wait, the solution won't be open. Let's not give money to private companies, because that's not the point of our organization.
And she's saying that if you take this money and give it to closed source, why should we even exist? This is ridiculous. Because,
that's what the government already does.
Yeah. And so her resignation is not like she didn't do anything wrong. This is her saying this is like in protest.
Yeah.
Of you're destroying, we're trying our best to make this something good, and you're destroying it by.
I think it would have been a more effective statement if she'd been an outspoken person to the point that they had to fire her, and then it was like, see, I told you.
But why would it matter if they're not giving them any money?
Well, it's a little bit more of a victory, I think, because you can look and be like, here's all the ways that you're going to go wrong, and then they're like, oh my gosh, you're impossible to work with. We're just not going to work with you anymore. And then later you can be like, look, I was exactly right.
You know what she could do? Burn down a Wendy's.
Or set a police car on fire.
You got to be careful about that one.
Or take the police precinct. Man, they were quick to sentence the cops after that happened, weren't they?
Ooh.
Anyway.
Google, I have definitely noticed in all of the web browsers the URL bar like doing weird stuff when I click away from it and stuff like that. I'm annoyed by that. Yeah. Why are you doing that? And Google seems hell-bent on taking it to the furthest possible level.
Google resumes its senseless attack on the URL bar and hides full addresses in Chrome 85. Basically, the stance here is, wow, people are so dumb. They don't understand what's in the address bar. Maybe if we just make it the web page, people will realize they're being phished.
But you also have the old AMP situation. And it benefits Google if there's, you know, like it's just, you're not exactly sure where you are in terms of the AMP addresses and stuff like that.
Which are technically Google addresses.
Exactly. So,
I like that this headline, because it's just, it's very editorializing, I guess, resumes its senseless attack.
Well, these are the Android police, Kristen.
Ah.
They serve and protect. Moving on to the robot section. Now, I know a lot of you sit at home and you fret and you worry and you say, how are those poor Mars rovers doing? Are they healthy? Are they happy? Do they feel a sense of accomplishment? How can I help? Is there anything I can do for the Mars rovers? And finally, the answer is yes.
You can help a Mars rover's AI learn to tell rocks from dirt by you yourself looking at a picture and trying to decide if it's rocks or dirt. Kind of like the whole recapture thing where it's like a little bit robot detection.
Well, this is a hard mode recapture.
Yeah.
So the TechCrunch guy said he tried it and immediately, like a couple of images in, he was like, okay, I don't know the difference between bedrock and surface rock when I'm looking at it up close. Like, how do I answer this? What? I don't. Or one was like, well, if it's bigger than like 5 centimeters, it's this. And if it's smaller, it's this. But there's no context. It's just Martian soil.
I'm going to need a banana for sale.
I don't know what it is. And you can imagine how hard that is on the rover to try to figure out, too. So yeah. Do what you can.
It makes me wonder if there's ever going to be like a race of machine overlords that enslave a biological population in order to help it figure out those things.
I could see that. But they wouldn't have to enslave them. It'd be like the Matrix. They'll get them to betray.
We give you food comfort and sustenance if you just...
Okay. It's the, you know, the darkness comes and the AI revolts. How far are you willing to go for air conditioning?
Kind of a long way.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be hard for them to win me over.
You know, they're working on a new Matrix movie.
Really? Oh, yeah. When was that supposed to be released?
It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
You know, I think what is happening right now is they realize that Keanu Reeves is going to hit the wall someday, and they're trying to get as much out of him as they can while he's still pretty naturally young.
Maybe they can get him to procreate. Maybe Keanu Jr. can...
Nah.
Nah.
He's childless for life. He's childless. He knows where it's at. Google... Pinterest. Let's talk about Pinterest. I hate Pinterest.
I do too.
I used
to like it back in the day, but it fills every image search now, and then you can't find the original article that the thing came from.
Not just that, but like in doing the whole like home renovation thing, there's a lot of really great projects on Pinterest where it's like, look at this amazing thing that I made from, you know, a used palette or whatever. And it's like, oh, I would be interested in that. But then you have to deal with the Pinterest nonsense, and it's like, no, I'm not installing that. I'm not going to deal with this.
But their implementation of the registration wall and stuff aside, maybe it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Now, you do have to depend on the people on Pinterest who can be a little overbearing. But then that's kind of where the magic is. So the question becomes, what if we let the machines do a Pinterest?
Google's latest experiment is Keen, an automated machine learning-based version of Pinterest. Don't think this is going to work out well.
So you go on there, and I guess Pinterest works the same way, where you just go in there and you tell it what you're into,
it'll base more like the more things you click and add to a folder. It's like, oh, you might like something else that's related to that.
So it takes your interest that you put in, it goes out, and it just uses its AI magic to go everywhere that it can and pick up information about that topic, not just news, but web searches, and it just fills up your little, you know, Pinterest board with AI curated stuff.
Keen, I will literally pay you cash money if you can find me light fixtures in this certain style for cheap. I'm not willing to pay retail prices for this.
I don't know. Try it. Is it available yet? I don't know if it's available yet.
I keep thinking something like this is what's going to, like the whole adware driven Blue Kai thing. Did you do the Blue Kai story?
Yeah, that's in security because it was a leak.
Oh, yeah. So that's another thing. It's like, I predicted that. That's going to happen. And we don't need the data. Like for marketing, we don't need the data. We just need to ask people what they want.
That's a little bit of a space communism type of rose-colored glasses, but sure, why not?
I mean, people would do that. If you look at Honey, look at the success of Honey.
What happened to Honey?
PayPal bought them.
And what have they done now? They've destroyed it.
Yes.
It will be crushed because it was pro-consumer. That's the problem. Now, a lot of businesses are suffering because of the lockdown, and you know, people are traveling less, they're doing less business, and it's easy to predict some of those, like movie theaters, obvious. But here's one that you didn't probably think about, or at least I didn't, because how often do you think about these things?
Stockwell, the AI vending machine startup formerly known as Bodega, is shutting down on July 1. And I just have to say, Stockwell is an amazing name for what they do. Basically, you got a vending machine in a subway station. You use AI to figure out what people are most likely to buy. That machine is going to be well-stocked, hence the name Stockwell. Oh, brilliant.
But not just subways. They put these in the ground floors of apartment buildings and stuff like that. And depending on where it was, like you say, different stuff. So in an apartment building, you might have like milk and bread and, you know, like just the basics that people would buy at a bodega, which is what they used to call this thing.
Interestingly, the AI also, you know, if you have a vending machine outside a comic book store, it's going to be used underwear. Like in Japan.
I need this Xbox in my Porkitect game because I've got a bunch of vending machines that it's like they can never keep them stocked. My little dudes.
Well, that's a good problem to have though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They really like the vending machines. I really hike the prices up on those.
It must be, like Wendell said, used panties. So. Now, they did point out that as a last-ditch effort, they started stocking these with personal protection equipment and kind of had a little bit of a resurgence, but it wasn't enough to stop the inevitable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People don't go outside.
What if we could get a really cheap AI-powered vending machine on eBay or something?
We had a vending machine here for a while, but then it was I had to have them come get it because it was just too unwieldy.
But something like that one in that picture that we could just put arbitrary stuff in?
That'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be cool.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Won't be the first time that I've done that.
And of course, we could never put it out on the street because the
homeless. But just smash it and take everything.
Yeah, it would be immediately smashed.
Well, for what has it been, like 2-3 years now?
Yeah.
We've been looking at these amazing, oddly adorable Spot robots. And they have done so many cool things. The latest thing was, social distancing. They would patrol various places and try to keep people from getting too close together. But you can imagine a million uses for one of these things. And now you no longer have to imagine if you have $75,000.
Boston Dynamics starts selling its Spot robot for $74,500. Level one stretch goal? I wonder what, you know, it's like a new car. Like when you drive that thing off the lot, what's the street price? How much value does it lose as soon as you drive it off the lot?
I imagine you have to have their connectivity, right? So resale, I don't know what that would even look like.
Adam Savage, you know, from Mythbusters, he built he got one of these somehow and he built a rickshaw, a vaguely racist Chinese rickshaw, but it was pulled by one of these. And it was kind of a fun video to watch.
Now, $75K will get you the base model, but you see all that stuff popping up there in that video? There's a la carte menu.
Oh, the battery's $5,000.
The charger is $1,600.
a nice camera? Oh, it's just $30,000.
LiDAR. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with these if you've got the cash to burn.
Literally setting cash on fire. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to be a great seller during the questionable economic times.
Just think about all the cool videos you can make.
Oh, yeah, it would be a lot of fun. I want to get one of those surplus industrial robotic systems off eBay that's like $1,000 or $2,000 to see if I can build a robotic camera person with it.
Now, how long before a movie studio gets one of these?
I mean, they already have them. They're already using them.
Is Spot making you sign something saying that this cannot be the killer in a major motion picture?
They really should be on top of that if they're not. We're available for consulting services, Boston Dynamics, if you'd like to reach out.
You know how Apple, like you're not allowed to put iPhones in movies and if it's the villain?
Yeah, yeah.
They should have something like that.
Yeah.
Because I would definitely make a movie where the Spot's the killer.
Black Mirror literally already did.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Was it Spot?
It was black, but it was Spot, basically. And it could wield knives and just all kinds of stuff. And it was there were security robots, and it was like a post-apocalyptic situation, and people were trying to break into a warehouse to survive, but all the Spots were still defending the warehouse, and so it turned dark fast.
The knife
you
gripping,
were charging, I studied the blade.
Knife gripping attachments, $5,000. Each. One for each paw. All right, well, that's it for this one. And on Friday, we'll be back with nonsense. And what have we not done yet? Security. Krista, give us a restricted growth pumpkin goodbye.
Restricted growth pumpkin.